Good afternoon. I'm your host, Rick Thompson, and I'm here today to talk about David Cassidy and the group of great women that started some projects and started an organization, and we're happy they did. And we're going to ask them some questions, and we're here today with Joe and Barb. Annette, Susan, and Marie went into hiding, so they may make an appearance later if they can reappear. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Marie. I can't believe it. All right, the other two are in hiding yet, so maybe we'll get to see them later. But anyway, Joe and Barb, we're going to talk today a little bit about the foundation that you started, the purpose of the foundation. Talk a little bit about the foundation, maybe.
Okay, well, I'll go back a bit, and it all started about a year ago in May of 2018, and we had the passing of David Cassidy in November, as you know, and a lot of us reached out to Facebook and kind of found each other as he was struggling that week of November, where it really hit the news. And we have one of the members of our group, Susan, that she started a campaign after David passed to get a bench here in Saratoga. And a lot of us donated, and a lot of us became friends on Facebook. And when I guess it was May of 2018 came, we all actually got together for a dedication of this bench and a dinner, a celebration of David's life. And it was the first time that any of us really had met in person. Maybe a few of us had because we lived close. But we really, especially the seven of us, two of them aren't here. One lives in Canada and one lives in Ohio. We really, really bonded after being on Facebook and not really meeting in person. But we felt an instant connection. And the connection that we had really was because we all love David Cassidy so mm-hmm. much. And then we were all about the same age and had, you know, families and lives in common. And then this thing happened to all of us, as it happened to anybody who loved him. And when we got to this memorial and finally met each other, we became instant friends, the seven of us that are in this group. And we bonded together, and it was Susan's idea to start this foundation, the I Think I Love You Animal Foundation that we're talking about.
That's great. So, yeah. One of the things, too, is last year when you had the first event, I had done some promo work. You know, Susan got a hold of me, and I was more than glad to do it, but I kind of feel like I'm part of the group now.
You are.
I don't have the hormones for it, but I do feel like I'm part of the group, and I enjoy looking at the, because we're all on Facebook together, looking at Facebook with you guys and talking to you on Facebook, and it really is something. And it's nice to plan events like this because it makes the winter go by, and when you're doing things like this, because it's happening this summer. But and we'll talk about that a little bit. So was that what in part inspired you to start the foundation?
Well, part of it was, yes, we were all long-time fans of David Cassidy. And we knew about his love for animals, especially horses. We knew he was involved at the racetrack, and he raised and bred thoroughbred racehorses, and that he just loved animals and was very concerned with animal welfare, especially horses. But as every David Cassidy fan knows, David loved all kinds of animals, and we've seen him in all our magazines and interviews and videos with many of his animals, dogs, cats, everything, horses he owned. So that did inspire us because that was a cause. Also here we knew he was very charitable and very generous with his time and his money to things like the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation mm-hmm. For retirement racehorses. And, you know, that inspired us to do this.
That's,
partly.
That's neat, yeah. Yeah. What I find interesting is that you all felt the same connection from not just one area, but from all over the country.
Right,
and
right.
I find that very interesting.
Yeah, when we had the event in May last year, There was a woman who came as far as Belgium. She was like a David Cassidy fan. She was the only one she knew when she was growing up. They just didn't have the TV show over there. And so we've, you know, met her on Facebook, and then she shows up, and that was, you know, a couple people from Canada came down. It was just an amazing, amazing gathering of people finding each other because we loved David Cassidy.
Yeah. And it's a small world because a lot of your group has friended me on Facebook, and I'm glad. And I think this girl over there in Belgium is named Valerie.
Viral,
yeah, close.
Viral. Well,
probably the
my father-in-law was in World War II, and he was at D-Day and Battle of the Bulge, and towards the end of the war, they went in, and they had to clear out the Germans in these little towns. And one of them was her town. And wow. My father-in-law and met this gentleman and lady that ended up running a museum for the American GIs. And they always wanted the GIs to come back. And they would have it's a whole day celebration for him, this little village. And then in the museum there was a tank, and they wanted every GI that went over to visit to sign the tank. Well, see, my father-in-law's unit was the first one that was the only one that cleaned out that village. And so he went over there probably when he was like 70. He and my mother-in-law went over, and they had the celebration. They have a big dinner. The whole village has a dinner at night, and they took him to the museum the next day, and he noticed that one door wasn't signed. One side of the tank didn't have any signatures. So she had my father-in-law sign the door, and she said, there'll never be another GI that signs this door. This one is saved for you. Because the other three members had died of the four, and they had never gone over there. So his name is the only one. Now this Val, those were her relatives. I don't know if they were her grandparents.
Wow.
Because I got talking. I put my father-in-law's picture up on Facebook on Veterans Day and had his story. And she sent me a note back and said, I know Mr. Clements. Gosh. He signed the tank. So it's a small world. Yeah. when you
not to connected.
Take away from your story, but how she got into your group.
Right.
And then just by friending me on Facebook from your group, ended up finding information like that out. So that's pretty nice.
Well, she's going to be at the event again this year. So
if you
come by, you'll meet her.
Oh, I'll be there, definitely.
Yeah.
And I know I wouldn't she's miss great. That because I know last time I threw eggs at Susan when she was on stage. But we'll talk about that later. So the foundation is about getting people together and supporting these programs that you've had, that you've started. And
well, if I can, I'll just speak to the name of the group for a minute. I think I Love You Animal Foundation. I think it's important, especially for Susan, who's probably she's the founder. The David Cassidy Memorial Legacy Group, part of the reason that we named it, I think, I Love You Animal Foundation, is the legacy mm-hmm. of David. And the words, I think I love you, that song was so famous. And pretty much when you see those words, I think I love you, you usually think of David Cassidy and the Partridge Family. So one of the reasons we named it that is because we want to bring in those people who remember that era, love David Cassidy, love the Partridge Family, and you've got kind of a built-in group of people who may pay attention to this foundation.
Oh, sure.
And then when you make it about animals, well, you know, that's an enormous part of the world that likes animals. So, you know, we're trying to keep his legacy alive in obviously a very positive way. And through animals, and so people who love animals and, you know, recognize the song, we get both of those audiences, and hopefully it'll grow, and the legacy will go on. So that's our hope with the part of the title of the name of the group, anyway.
That's nice. Yeah, it's always good to associate. Part of his famous, I mean, he had a lot of famous songs, but I think the most recognizable song and incorporate a name. A title of that into a group because it's, like you said, recognizable.
Yeah, I think if you put a microphone in front of someone's face and said, name a Partridge Family song, they would actually sing, I Think I Love You. I don't think they would just say it.
No, no, I know.
They would sing that line.
Everybody recognizes I Think I Love You. As a matter of fact, when I was going out with a girl, I said, I Think I Love You, and I could see she was getting uncomfortable. I said, no, the David Cassidy song. Please, don't.
It was the song of the year.
It was the song of the year. But anyway, why don't you give us a little information on your mission statement?
Okay. I'll speak to that, and then I'll throw it over to you, Joe.
Okay.
One of the it started with David's good friends. They helped us out, Dr. Jerry Belinsky and his wife Darlene, and Gary Contessa and his wife Jennifer. And they inspired us, and we were all inspired by observing the love of animals that David had. And so the mission statement, you know, it says something like, to carry on the vision the foundation seeks the day when all animals are treated with love, compassion, kindness, and receive the care they need. And one of the things that I like the best about the mission statement is included in it is this final line. It says, we believe through education and enlightenment, we can build happy tails and happy trails for all our animal friends and animal suffering worldwide. And anybody who knows David well knows that happy trails was kind of his tagline when he would write letters. Maybe he would say, you know, goodbye to somebody. And so when you have happy tails and happy trails in the same sentence, and it's kind of like a little moniker that we're very proud of to make part of our mission statement, I think they kind of sum it up in a little phrase like that.
Yeah, and you know, the way horse racing is going today with all the injuries where you didn't have that years ago, they're breeding horses differently today for speed rather than endurance. Organizations that take care of horses after their racing careers have become more important than ever, because the horses can be retrained for show horses or riding horses. You know, people think that back when they had ground greyhound racing, they destroyed the greyhounds after because they couldn't be retrained. Well, that's not the way with horses. They're smart animals, and they can be taught to, you know, become part of the normal world again and get out of the racing world. But so I'm glad that you support, and all animals need help today. There's nothing about, you know, animals always need our help. I want to get back just a little bit about David, if we can. David was very caring, and I'm sure quite a few of you girls met him in person. I know there's somebody in this room that just put down a pad that tried to kidnap him one day, but we won't get into that because, I don't know that. But anyway, I met David just once or twice when he had a house in Saratoga. And the one thing that struck me back then about him was he was very open to signing autographs for people or talking to them for a little while. And I always felt that was kind of unique, because most stars or what sports stars, singers, when they're out, they're being bothered all the time by people that are fans of theirs. And I always said, how do they finish a dinner, you know? And I don't think David was really worried about that. I mean, he was very happy to accommodate people, but and I know when he came to the track, there wasn't a person that didn't want to meet him, mostly females, because when they grew up with him. And David was a charismatic and a very handsome person. And when you put those two together, along with being very friendly, you know, you got the making of a superstar, and that's what he was. I know some of you have had contact with David, had met him in person. Pretty much everybody here?
I would say everybody but Susan, actually.
Okay.
But
yeah.
Joe's met him quite a few times at the track up here. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know one time you were talking before we went on the air that you tried to bribe a security guard, which wasn't me. But
I asked if this was off the record.
See, no, it's not. Nothing is off the record once you tell me, because Annette's going to get it in a little while about her concert going. But no, this, we had the signal back then. We went like that. And if I could have caught you, you would have been arrested, fingerprinted, and put your picture would have been put up in every entrance booth. But that didn't happen. No, there were many people that that met David over year after year up there, and were very they were very cordial to him, and didn't impinge on his privacy. They wanted to get a picture taken with him or go up and say hello, and they did, and they didn't, they stopped after that.
I think at some point people realized, the fans, the friends, the acquaintances realized that David found a sense of peace up here, and that he wasn't trying to be the superstar there, where he could be normal,
right?
You know, which I know it's a lot of times in his life, because of the, you know, the fans, that, you know, he didn't have a lot of that, you
yeah.
know. So you got a real sense of that, you know, he found a peace, he found the peace here in Saratoga that he couldn't, because he always said this was his favorite place on earth.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
you know, everybody treated him as the horse breeder, the horse trainer, and not the David Cassidy superstar.
Yeah.
So I think that had a lot to do with it. And then when people, I think, get that vibe, they're more respectful and reserved, and, you know, don't want to bother them.
Sure.
Know.
And it must have been hard for him as a teenage superstar, because there was that special on the making of the last album that he did, his father's favorites, and they showed him in his younger life, and coming out of concerts they had to wrap him up in a blanket and throw him in the back of the van. But I had read somewhere, there's a book that I love, and I had it, but it's disappeared, along with my Sir William Johnson book that was about my show this morning, and my wife mysteriously misplaced it. I've lost that book, and I tried to get it on eBay, and the prices are outrageous now. I mean, it's out of print, but they're like $95, $120, and it's a paperback book. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I don't know, but I'll get one. But anyway, he was the biggest singer that did concerts back then. When he
highest
was younger,
paid solo performer.
Highest paid solo performer.
1970.
And the most, the solo performer that made the most money. And when you think about that, and doing a TV show, I mean, they would do the rehearsal for the TV show, and then that night he'd take off and do a concert, and then get back in time the next day. And day after day after day, I mean, I don't care how strong a person you are, that's got to wear on
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
and,
definitely.
You know, because he was so super popular for his whole life. I mean.
Yeah, I have this interesting thing that's happening to me actually right now. I had, I'm creating a booklet for our group. And basically what it is, and we'll want to talk to you about it later, is fans' reflections and memories of David Cassidy, and we're making this booklet. A lot of these fans have written in to our group, and I'm basically compiling it and editing the book. Right. And there's about 30 in there, and you know, and it's, you know, women, and they're talking about all the experiences. One of the things I noticed yesterday was, talk about a small world, was a lot of these women are talking about being at the 1972 Madison Square Garden concert, and it's like, I believe Joe, I think yours was talking about that. And I thought to myself, how weird that all of these people know each other now, and they were all at the same concert the same day, and they didn't know of each other.
Oh,
and they were, because they were like 10 or 9 or whatever with their parents. And now they're all writing about the same concert as a memory, and they all know each other.
That's amazing.
It's very weird.
Now, an unrelated topic, I had that experience at Woodstock. I had a ticket for Woodstock to go with two of my friends, and I backed out. I chickened out, and they went down. And you couldn't get near the exit, the thruway exit. I think they were backed up by four exits. And so he parked his car off the road and went to Woodstock. And they made the trek back, you know, and his car was gone. Somebody stole his car. Of course, you got to be a fool to park on the side of the thruway, right? But that's how bad they wanted to get there. And I always wish I could have gotten to that, because a lot of my favorite performers, you know, were at Woodstock. But, you know, it's funny how you have an association with somebody that was at a place that you would never figure.
Yeah.
You know, and you never knew each other, and now you have a common bond. And hopefully the group can grow a little because of that common bond. And
I mean, how many people were at that concert? Like 50,000 or something?
What, Madison Square Garden?
Yeah, I don't even 22,000. 22,000 people, and now like about 4 or 5 of them actually know each other.
Yeah,
and they were not even on each other's radar.
David
brought them together
and
twice.
We found out not only that, but we sat real close. We were like a row apart.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It's an amazing, the power of David to just bring people together while he was alive.
Sure.
And now after he's passed.
Right.
That's, we look at each other like, how are we friends? This is insane.
No, it's great.
And it's great.
And before we, or maybe when we first started at the Girl in Belgium, how through the this group,
mm-hmm.
we talked about my father-in-law who had gone through, was one of 4 GIs, had gone through and saved or wiped out the city. And it was her grandparents that now have had the museum, and it's carried down through the family. So associations you can't figure out. The world is very large, but when you get right down to it, it's a small place, because you can meet people that
so true
you don't even know, you know, and you have something in common.
Right.
So this is a foundation that is a 501c3.
Correct.
Which means that if you donate, you can have a tax mm-hmm. exemption.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you're raising money for all your projects, a scholarship and the animal aftercare, this is just something I'm throwing out here, and I don't... don't want to insult you by any means, but have you ever thought about starting a GoFundMe page for the purpose of doing animals, which I don't think you can do.
No.
So just wipe that out of your mind, okay?
No,
don't, it's okay.
We never thought of that.
Don't ever think
about
that.
Yeah, we just never went, we didn't go that route.
We didn't.
Yeah,
okay.
We didn't.
Okay. That's okay. We had that was an idea that went in, and it just went out of my head, so I'm not even going to
And it
think
wasn't insulting. It was just what it is.
Yeah. No, I know. For a minute, I thought we had a bobblehead doll in here. But anyway, what is the, you know, I know you help animals through the organizations that you have, mm-hmm. and your guiding principles are love, kindness, and respect. Authenticity, lead by example, foster new vision, transparency, and positive influence. I think the two most important ones, this is how I feel anyway. I mean, they're all topics you should live by in here, but I think the two most important ones are authenticity and transparency. I think if people know you're transparent and you're authentic,
for charity,
that you'll carry on for years.
Right.
By, you know, I think that's a great guiding principle list that you have there. And I think that would inspire someone to either become involved or to donate to carry on your projects. And
and if you want to bring it back to David Cassidy, if you look at those guiding principles, I would say each single one of those is how he lived his life as well.
Yeah.
So you could give an example for a lot of things that he did in each of those categories.
Oh, most definitely.
So, and there's not a lot of people. I think before the show we were talking about some big celebrities are, they're just not like that.
And, oh, yeah.
And he was.
And I was talking about, you know, meeting David in Saratoga, but just as a fan, not as, and you think that at the time, I mean, you leave people like that, tend to leave them alone because you want to respect their privacy. But he always welcomed, he always had time. You try to protect their privacy, and at the track we became closer only at that 6-week period, though, and we never had contact after the 6-week period because I mean the guy was busy all the time or had other projects going on. But you were a friend of his because I was there every year in my same spot. I mean, and one day he asked me if they plant me there on this day. And I said, no, you know, that I'm just leaning against these rails here every day because I got to stand up for 8 hours. But except the time I tried to chase our young lady here who tried to bribe her way in. But we won't get into that again.
Is that the same spot we met you?
Yes.
Yes. We're talking about,
and that's what I wanted to say. You know, I gotten into your group, and you are the most wonderful people that I've ever been acquainted with through not only David Cassidy but through Facebook. And the day that you paid a visit, and I see these women walking up the stairs with, I thought, vengeance in your eyes. And my two white caps that were standing by me said, what's going on? And I said, I don't know, but if one of them becomes unruly, stand in front of me, please. Because I had never met you. I shouldn't say that. I met Susan at the event. But it was so, I had a friend with me who was a New York City homicide detective. And he goes to an event, and he only wants to stay for 5 minutes because he thinks some of the people he arrested 30 years ago are going to be there to shoot him. So we couldn't stay too long. Well, this guy, he's like that. I mean, he's a gentleman that arrested the Son of Sam.
Oh, wow.
And after he retired from the show, he went to Hollywood. They called him to Hollywood for stories for a TV show, NYPD Blue. And then he became the producer of the show. And they were on for 11 seasons or something. But yeah, anytime you go out to a restaurant with him, he has to have his back or so that he can look at the
look
door.
At this crowd.
Oh, yeah. He's, you know. But anyway, I mean, we went to the event. I wanted to stay. Unfortunately, this is the first time in, I've known him for 3 years, and the first time in 3 years that I had to drive him. He always wants to drive. So I had to leave and take him home, and I had to miss most of the event because I wanted to buy some jewelry. I thought a nice pair of earrings would go good with my when I drove bus. But anyway, let that lay as it may. So the event is coming up.
Yeah, correct. The second one. Yeah.
All right, the second event.
The event that you wanted to buy the jewelry at, that was August.
That was August. Yeah. At the first.
The first event was the same weekend last year that we're having it this year.
Right. That you had an event last year
in May,
which is an annual event also.
Correct.
And then you're having an event in the summer that will most likely be, no?
I don't know. We might, but
oh,
we haven't.
May is both of them. You're combining both of them.
It's a two-day event.
Last year you had two.
It's a two-day event. It's the annual David Cassidy Celebration of Life. And we're going to have lots of things. We have a tribute band that's coming in the night before on the 19th, 45 RPM. They're going to do a lot of David's music from the Partridge Family and also his solo works. Mm-hmm. They're a very, very good band. They cover 60s, 70s, and 80s. And we're holding the event this year up in Lake George, New York.
Yes, and I'm glad.
Yeah, Lake and George, it's a great venue. It's going to be held at King Neptune's Pub.
Okay.
We're also having the next day event on the 20th there also, and that starts at noon. And you can purchase your tickets online at King Neptune's Pub.
Yep, and we'll certainly talk about that, later, with a separate show, mm-hmm. And we'll get the word out. But really neat. Lake George is a real neat place.
It's beautiful.
You have people that are coming that for both days and are staying over,
correct?
They have great tours on Lake George. You can take now. This is just because it's an Indian area. They have the Minnehaha, which you can get on, and then they have a cruise of Lake George which is neat. So there's a lot of things to do up at Lake George.
Yes.
I mean, it's nice. It's really nice. And King Neptune's is a great place.
Mm-hmm.
And the band is playing all my favorite music.
Yes.
I mean,
yes, we're very excited about that.
Yeah. And I did not put a request in for that music, 67 and 80s, because I wanted you to make the decision. But they're my favorite periods, 60s, 70s, and 80s music. So the website that anyone can email is I think I love you 412, that's the number 412, at AOL.com. I think I love you 412 at AOL.com. And the phone number I can give out, or would you rather wait for that? I can give it out. All right, 518-783-995-9053. The trifocals blipped there. So that's 518-783-9053. And that's Maria, and she's in charge of the collection.
Registering agent.
She is the registering agent. So don't call that number to make a date. 518-783-9053.
Yeah, if you want more information, you can email that email address.
Right. I think I love you 412 at AOL.com. And the address, I can give the address out for I think I love you. I don't have it here. It was here, but I don't have it. Gosh, things disappear around here so much. Numbers look like different numbers. I'm telling you, I'm going to change my glasses the next podcast, okay? So is there anything you want to close the podcast with? Because we certainly can get into more. You can do as
two things I'd like to say is that this is why Gary Contessa and Dr. Gary Contessa, we call him Dr. Contessa sometimes, and Dr. Belinsky are so implement of this program, and with their care and support, and because they love David, they were real friends, more than friends, that they were family, help guide us to some of these things, and inspired us also for this foundation. And I do want to tell that as a life, my personal experience as a lifelong fan of David Cassidy, I was a fan long before the Partridge Family, and I saw observed him on TV in some more dramatic roles, and also followed his career through Broadway, I felt very fortunate that we had him for so many years, and then we felt like he gave so much to his fans that if we can give back just a fraction of what he gave us by starting this foundation and taking it global, then perhaps we would have accomplished a small fraction of what he gave to us.
Sure.
So that makes us very happy to do this in memory of him.
Yeah, and it's awful nice to do. I mean, you're giving back what he gave, and that's always a nice thing.
Yeah, I can say that when in November 21st, 2017, when I got a million text messages, because everybody knows me, that David passed, I woke up and I was a little nervous, going to work. I thought, oh, my God, my life is going to be different now. My life's going to be smaller because David is not in my life now. There's nothing extra that I can get. No new albums, no new music. I'm sure people felt the same way. And I was really afraid my life was going to be a little smaller. And it is the complete opposite. My life has become so much bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Meeting people like you, meeting people like these girls, starting this foundation. And it's just, I always say, David is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
and
been amazing.
You know what's really great today is that someone like David or, I always bug Annette about the concerts she goes to. because we kind of like the same music. But, you know, even as they get older and they don't perform anymore, we have records, we have CDs, so we can always hear them sing, always bring back the memories that they did, that they gave us. So, it, you know, I can't imagine living before these things were invented. When someone passed away, you didn't have a connection with them anymore, but yeah, now you can have a constant connection. And so that
record, CD, CDs, social media,
and sometimes DVDs, and it's pretty neat today to keep a memory alive, and that's great. And what you guys have done is nothing short of amazing.
Thank you,
especially when you didn't. This brought you together
a year ago. This wasn't even a thing yet,
right?
Because we hadn't met. So, I mean, I think we all just, and you probably feel the same way. We feel blessed to live in the time period that David Cassidy was alive.
Yeah, definitely.
Made the world a better place.
Yeah, we weren't born too late.
The world is a screwy place, but you had people like David that made it better, and for, you know, a while, and we're glad that he did. So, listen, it was great having you all here today.
Thank you so
much.
Yeah,
thank you. Nice to see you. It really is.
Really fun.
I just feel, I feel pleased that I met you through David, and so we can have now the rest of our lives to keep in touch and see each other and all that. So this is one of many podcasts that you are going to do. And
oh, goody.
Yes. And
well, it's a labor of love.
Yes. Right.
We'll bring more information. And, you know, and May 19th, 2019 at King Neptune's. I didn't even know he was still alive. But anyway, tickets are available at KingNeptunesPub.com. Mm-hmm. And the phone number is 518-685-5331. But the most important one of all is I Think I Love You for 12 at AOL.com.
Thank you.
So I want to thank all of you for being here today. And we'll certainly be in touch with each other as
thank you.
We
okay,
go on.
Great.
Okay.
Thank
yeah.
you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Okay.